For many students, school can be a challenge. For students who are transgender, it can be a battleground. In the most recent U.S. transgender survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality, nearly three-quarters of Arizona students who are transgender said they experienced some form of mistreatment at school. Almost half of them said they were verbally harassed, 24% were physically attacked, and 8% said they were sexually assaulted because of being transgender.
They are sobering statistics that shed a light on the precarious spot school administrators and transgender students find themselves in, as federal guidance and local regulations often conflict over how to approach issues like bathrooms and names. The show's Lauren Gilger dug into this further and joins us now. And Lauren, how is this all playing out here in Arizona?
Well, it really runs the gamut. I spoke with Cammie Bellis about this. She's the director of the Transgender Education Program at ASU, and she has developed training for schools, teachers, administrators, nurses, counselors, to help them affirm transgender students. She said there are a lot of little issues that pop up for schools when they're working with transgender students. What bathroom they can use, yes, but also being called by their asserted name, changing school records, and accessing locker rooms and sports that are in correspondence with their gender identity. And I asked her that question: what are the rules for schools right now when it comes to transgender students?
So on a federal level, that's a really tricky question. You know, when we had the Obama administration and the Department of Ed and the Department of Justice last year saying that, yes, all public schools must affirm and support transgender students, that was really clear.
But this has gotten more complicated with the new administration?
Yes, it has. Since President Trump rescinded the guidelines that were so critical for these transgender students across the country, it's left schools and their transgender students in this kind of limbo of, what do we do? Does Title IX protect transgender students or not? And so we have schools kind of all along the spectrum. We have some that are saying, we're going to wait. You know, right now you need to use the nurse's bathroom, or you need to use the bathroom that corresponds with the gender that you were assigned at birth. And then we have schools on the other end of the spectrum that are saying, we are not changing our inclusive policy. We're going to continue to support and affirm transgender students, and they're welcome and safe here.
So what are you seeing here in Arizona when you look at school administrations and what they're normally choosing to do?
At the moment, we're seeing a spectrum of responses and policies. I can actually say, for the most part, it seems like schools want to do the right thing. They want to do right by transgender students, but they're afraid. They're afraid of parental backlash. That's understandable. They're afraid of how it might look. They're afraid of any type of legal repercussions. So there's certain districts that have very strong non-discrimination policies, you know, that include sexual orientation, includes gender identity and gender expression, because we know that when there's a inclusive policy in place, teachers are more likely to intervene. Students are more likely to feel safe. And parents, when we know that there's an inclusive policy there, it's much easier for them to go in and say, look, you know, our child transitioned over the summer. We just want to make sure that, you know, they can use the bathroom that they need to and be called by the right name and be treated the way that they need to be treated. And when there's that policy in place, it makes it much easier for the parents.
It sounds like it would be awfully complicated for an administration at this point when the laws have gone back and forth.
Yes. We've had workshops where, you know, a teacher's raised their hand and said, well, what is our policy on bathrooms? Mm-hmm. And the principal, thankfully, is, you know, in the workshop, and they stand up and she says, well, our policy is that transgender students use the bathroom that corresponds to their gender identity. And that's their policy. And so when you have that policy from above, it makes it much easier. I mean, we know these students are universally distressed. And just if you can just make it a little bit easier for them and take care of the bathroom issue, it just makes it obviously easier to learn, easier to focus, and they can just be kids.
Is it always bullying from other students, though, or is this opposition from teachers, opposition from staff that are going to be giving them a hard time?
We as teachers are obviously there because we care about students and we love them and we want to teach them. It doesn't matter who they are. We want you to do your best. So it's surprising when we see the research that teachers can be the ones that are saying these negative things. You know, we've heard things from students where teachers will say, you're in the wrong bathroom, what are you doing? Or you're not really a girl. And so those comments can be incredibly harmful and can have potentially devastating consequences. I mean, you're looking at a population that has one of the highest attempted suicide rates on the planet. So the last thing we'd probably want to do is, you know, be saying anything negative about a child, you know, about a child's gender identity or whatever aspect of their identity, you know, is obviously important to them.
Cami Bellis is the director of the Transgender Education Program at Arizona State University. Cami, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I also wanted to know how this plays out in the classroom. So I spoke with Tammy Stoss. She's a third grade teacher at Summit Academy in Mesa, and she has a son who is transgender. We spoke about how her son's transition changed the way she approaches these issues in her own classroom.
Well, I think the biggest thing that schools face and that teachers face is a lack of understanding, knowing what's going on. So many times people are, their first question is, how can someone so young know that this is the case? How can they choose, or how do they know? And people get gender and sexuality really confused. I think a lot of that comes from, you know, grouping LGBT, because the LGB, that is sexuality. The T is gender. And gender is completely different than sexuality. Mm-hmm. Gender is who you want to go to bed as instead of who you want to go to bed with. So a lot of little kids from really early on, they have this awareness of who they are. And they know in their heart of hearts. I've talked to my son about this. And in his heart of heart, he said, I always knew I was a boy. Always. And I said, even from like 2 years old? Yeah, I knew. And so kids know. And if they're given that space, that comfort area to be themselves, then they're okay with that.
Right. So what does that look like in your classroom? What can you do?
Well, the biggest thing I can tell teachers and that I do is, you know, and we all used to do this. This was grade school. There's a girl line and there's a boy line. Right. You need to line up girls on this side, boys on that side. First thing I ever did when my son started transitioning is get rid of the girl line and the boy line. There's a line here and a line here. I need about 12 people in this line and 12 people in that line. You choose.
So that's such a little thing, right?
Super little.
But you said a lot of these things are really minute things that you can do in a classroom and in mm-hmm. a school setting that really seem to help. What are some other examples?
Oh, I mean, it's almost, you know, silly, but say like if you're working on a word math problem and there's a name and they don't know. Well, is that a girl's name or a boy's name? Does it matter? No, I guess not. Okay, move on.
And you kids know. Are that, they'll do that, yeah.
They do that. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And that's pretty much how you handle it. Or if, you know, somebody wants to be called a different name. Maybe they're a girl and they want to be called a boy's name. Maybe a nickname, something like that. Well, isn't that a boy's name? They'll say, no, it can be either. It's what they want to be called, and that's what we're going to call them. Very matter of a fact, not a big deal, and move on. And kids generally are like, oh, okay. And that's all they'll say because you're the figure in charge. Yeah. You're the adult. And how you approach it and how you handle it is going to set the tone.
It sounds like you started changing some of these things in your own classroom when you saw your son going through this transition process. What was that like for you as a mother, and how did it affect how you dealt with other kids?
Well, it really opened my eyes. It really did, because honestly, until we started experiencing this as a family, I didn't know. I had no idea how uncomfortable my son was picking a line. You know, it's a line. It's not a big deal. But it truly made him very uncomfortable for years trying to decide which line to go in. You know, so he spent a significant amount of his time in his early education worrying about stuff that took away from his academic experience. And I bounce a lot of stuff off him now. You know, well, this happened. What do you think? And he'll give me that different perspective that allows me to kind of look at it through a different lens and go, oh, yeah, I never even thought of that. So, yeah, I've changed a lot of practices. As teachers, we're kind of the front line giving that safe space, allowing him that expression. Whereas at home, it may not happen.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tammy Stoss is a third grade teacher at Summit Academy in Mesa. Tammy, thanks so much for coming in and talking about this.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to the show.